Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Becca Bruner.
Hi there, and welcome once again to Paley Presbyterian Church. My name is Becca. I'm one of the pastors here. And we're just so glad that you could join us today. It's our deep hope that through connecting with us here in worship and then through the variety of resources we're making available online, that you would be able to grow in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ and in authentic relationships with one another. That's our vision here at Paley Presbyterian Church. That's how we believe God has called us to end relational poverty. So we're starting a new series today, a sermon series on the book of Philippians, as you saw in the video just prior to this. The title of the series is Finding Joy No Matter What. You know, most people, if you ask them, what do they want out of life? A variety of answers they'll give you, but most of those answers kind of, when you drill down behind them, the desire behind the desire is to be happy. Most people want to be happy. If you ask parents, you know, people like me, you know, what do you want for your kids? You know, I want a lot of things, but when it really comes down to it, I don't care who they are. I don't care what they choose to do with their life. You know, what I really want is for them to be happy. We all want to be happy. You know, there's a lot of great thinkers and writers throughout the centuries who've noted this kind of shared human desire for happiness. First, what I found, St. Augustine, back in the 4th century, he writes, "Every man, whatsoever his condition, desires to be happy." Skip a few hundred years into the future, 12th century, a guy named Thomas Aquinas wrote, "Man is unable not to wish to be happy." Got that double negative. Man is unable not to wish to be happy. A few hundred years later into the future, 16th century, French mathematician and theologian Blaise Pascal said, "All men seek to be happy. This is without exception." And of course, now, here in our own century, there is the great thinker, the great contributor to modern culture, Pharrell Williams. Have you heard of him? He quite profoundly put it this way. He said, "Clap along if you feel that happiness is the truth." We all want to be happy. Happiness is one of those universal human desires. Now, in normal times, we all have our normal ways of seeking happiness. We've got our pursuits, our pleasures, our activities that do often make us happy, at least for the short term. You know, going on vacation, being able to go out to dinner to our favorite restaurant. Yeah, getting that big bonus check from work, a trip to Target or a delivery from Amazon. Those can be some serious happiness delivery mechanisms. In normal times, we have our normal ways of being happy. But what about the not normal times? You know, what about the times we're living in right now? I mean, these days that are about as far from normal as a person can get, how do we get happy during the coronavirus? You know, a lot of people are asking that question now. We're over 5 weeks into this whole social isolation, total shutdown thing. If ever there was any novelty to this situation, well, it's gone now. We're kind of done with it. We're tired. We're anxious. We're lonely. We're struggling. And we're wondering and we're worrying how, when, if we're ever going to make it through this. Well, that, my friends, is exactly why we are preaching this series on Philippians. This letter, it was written over 2,000 years ago. It was written in a time that was difficult. It was written to a people who were struggling. People who were living in a world that was just as anxious, just as troubled, and just as full of struggle as our world is now. This letter, it was written by the Apostle Paul, probably around 60-61 AD, and it was written to the church at Philippi. Now, Paul had founded this church 10 years earlier. He'd gone there and he'd shared with them the gospel, the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. People received it, a church was formed. It just so happened that in the process, Paul got himself thrown into jail. You can read about the story there in Acts 16. But his missionary journeys continued, taking him away from Philippi, and now we're skipping ahead about 10 years later. And Paul's in jail again. But this time, he's in jail in Rome. He is in a Roman prison, awaiting his trial, his day to stand before Caesar, the most powerful person in the known world at that time. He doesn't know what's going to happen from that trial. What he does know is what's being decided in that trial is whether he lives or dies. But when it comes, what happens when it comes, everything about his fate is unknown. He's just sitting in this prison cell and he has no idea what the future holds. I want you to help me out here for a second. Wherever you are, whatever room you're sitting in, with whomever you're sitting, I want you to just, I'm going to say some things, and if any of them apply to you, I want you to raise your hand. Kind of just by a raise of hand, I wonder, who has felt any feelings of anxiety this week? Who has had one or two moments, or more, who's had some moments of worry about what tomorrow holds, what next week holds, what next year may hold? Who's worried about that? Who's feeling a little uncomfortable with the way things are today and a little bit unsure about the way things are going to be tomorrow? Let's just raise those hands. Gotta say, if your hand's not raised right now, you either just don't want to or you're lying. I think all of us are feeling this way. We're anxious. You know, Paul sat in that prison for up to 5 years, just waiting for his trial to come, waiting for his fate to be decided. He had no idea what his future held. So you'd think that in that time, Paul would just be a nervous wreck. Like that he'd just be nervous, pulling his hair out, stressed out, going out of his mind with worry. But it's interesting. As we read this letter, what we find in it isn't worry, but joy. Scholars call Philippians the letter of joy because as you read it, it's just got four chapters in this book. But in those four short chapters, the word joy appears 16 times. 16 times. Now, is Paul happy to be in his present circumstances? I can't imagine. There's no way. Paul isn't happy, but here's the thing. Paul has learned that there's something that's better than being happy. Paul has learned, and we will too, that while happiness relies on happy circumstances, joy is something completely different. See, joy doesn't mean the absence of pain or suffering or problems. Now joy, well, that means the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord in the midst of those problems, in the midst of that pain. Joy is the presence of the Lord, his power and his presence. That is what gave Paul joy, and that is what can give us joy too. So, for these next 6 weeks, we're not going to just talk about joy. We're going to live it. We are going to live it starting today We are launching the Joy Project. And we have a brief video that I want you to see that tells you all about it. Take a look.
Hey friends, we here at Paoli Presbyterian Church want to welcome you to join us on the Joy Project.
We're living in the middle of a difficult season right now. Sickness and suffering.
Furloughs and financial downturns, angst and anxiety. That's what dominates the headlines.
They fill our screens, they fill our areas, they fill our minds. We're all struggling in some way or another.
Might seem a strange time to talk about joy, but that's what we're going to do. Because it's right when we're suffering that we need joy the most. For joy, it's just not the same thing as happiness.
Joy isn't the same as happiness.
I don't think any of us would say we're happy about our present circumstances. But that's the thing. We can still have joy. Because joy is not the absence of suffering. The joy is the presence of the Lord.
So how do we find that joy?
Well, it's actually pretty simple. We find joy when we put the right things in the right places in our lives. When our priorities line up with Jesus' priorities, then we find joy.
And Jesus made his priorities pretty clear. If we want to experience true, lasting joy, all we have to do is spell it out. J-O-Y.
J is for Jesus. O is for others. And Y, that's for yourself. So for the Joy Project, we're gonna invite you to do three things.
First, connect with Jesus. Use the devotional that's been provided to connect with Jesus in the book of Philippians. Second, serve others.
We've got a joy brigade in place that is gonna lead us in moving out in safe, social distancing kind of ways to bring joy to others in our weekly joy challenges.
Third, take care of yourself.
Find at least one way, once a week, to care for yourself, your body, your mind, and your spirit.
We're living in the midst of a very difficult season right now. That's true. And we don't know when or how it will come to an end.
But here's what we do know. We know that the Lord is present. And so even in the midst of difficulty, we know that we can and we will experience joy.
We can and we will experience Jesus's joy.
You guys, we have been working so hard on this all week, and I'm just so glad that I finally get to tell you about it. I have been so excited about this project because I know that so many people in our church, in our community, in our world are not happy right now. I know, and with good reason. But the reality is, we can still have joy. Jesus can bring us joy. Even now, even with everything's going on, we can have joy. And gosh, you know, I know, man, do we need it. So here's how you get it. You can learn everything about the Joy Project by going to our website. Go to paolipress.org/joy. Everything you need to know, everything you need to get to be able to participate with us in this project is there. But as we said in the video, it's simple. Joy is lived out, J-O-Y. We find joy when we seek Jesus. And so we're inviting you to join us for worship every week as we dig into this letter of Philippians. You can be reading Philippians on your own. We've created a devotional that you can use to read it through each week. And that devotional is available online. It's going to be coming into your email inboxes if you're on our list. If you're kind of more of a paper person, we have safely printed out a number of copies. Those are out on the front steps of the church, right at the door there, some paper copies. You can swing by and pick one up if you'd like. But listen to the sermons about Philippians. Read Philippians yourself. And then join a small group. There's a link right below this video of how you can join one of our many online small groups to get to know some friends and neighbors and dig into this stuff and see how it applies to your life with real community in real time. So that's first. We find joy when we seek Jesus. We find joy when we serve others. We've put together our very own Joy Brigade. You're going to hear about this at the end of the service, but one of our staff members, Maddie Ridgway, has put together a team that's going to lead us out once a week in some ways that we can serve and bring joy to others in our local community. Of course, you can serve anyone, anytime, any way that you want. We thought it would be neat to kind of do it together as a community, to find some safe, social distancing ways to serve and bring joy to our community. So seek Jesus, serve others, and then you find joy when you take care of yourself. You know, I don't know if you've ever flown on an airplane with a child, but you know, when they're doing that safety briefing and they tell you about when that oxygen mask, if that oxygen mask it were to fall, that what you do is you put your own mask on first before you help the child that you're with, right? The truth is, you can't give what you don't have. And so we need to be taking care of ourselves. At all times, you got to take care of yourself, but especially at times as difficult and trying as these, take care of yourself. And so what we're asking is that you find one, at least one time a week where you do something specifically to take care of yourself, your body, your mind, and your soul. This is the Joy Project, and I really hope that you join us. And I want you to share with us. Share with us your stories, your pictures, your reflections, your experience, what you're doing and what you're getting out of it as an individual and as a family. You can email us at the email address joy@paolipress.org. You can also join a Facebook group we've put together, and you can post on social media using the hashtag JoyProjectPaoli. Now, we want everybody to be seeking and finding and experiencing the joy of Jesus Christ in this season. And we really, really can't wait to hear and to see what happens. So, I have 5 minutes now to get into Philippians, the content of this sermon today, so let's just jump right in, shall we? And let me look at Philippians 1, 1 through 11. Paul writes, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It's right for me to think of you this way, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. So, okay. Here's Paul, chained to a pair of Roman guards in some dark, dank prison cell in Rome, unsure of whether he's going to live or die. There's Paul. Over here are the people of the Church of Philippi, who themselves are struggling. They're trying to live out their faith in this world that is increasingly ever hostile to that Christian faith. So what does Paul say to them? What's the most important thing he can impart to them? Well, I'll be honest, if it's me, I might start out with a pep talk. Like, all right, hey guys, you know, I know it's really, really rough out there. I know you're really struggling, but you can do it. Or if I'm more honest, I might start out with a little bit of a good old-fashioned self-indulgent whining. A little bit of like, Guys, it is really rough in here. I'm not sure I can make it through it. But you know what Paul does? Neither of those things. What Paul does is he starts out this letter with prayer. With prayer, the joy that Paul has found is rooted in a heart of prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but though I do want to pray, I often find that when I start to pray, I don't always have the words. I don't really know how to do it. Well, one of the wonderful gifts of Scripture is that it can give us the words. The prayers that were prayed then can become a template for our prayers now. And so very quickly, I want to point out three things, three attributes about Paul's prayer that can help serve as a guide and a help for our prayers. You know, the first thing I notice about Paul's prayer is that he prays with gratitude. I thank my God every time I remember you. You know, before he asks God to do anything, he gives thanks for what God has already done. Before he brings up what's lacking and what's needed, he celebrates what's already there, what's good, what's healthy, and what's blessed. And specifically, Paul thanks God for the Philippians themselves. He thanks God for their friendship, for their encouragement, for the ways that they've come alongside him in the journey of faith. You know, friends, we do have a whole lot of needs that we can and should go to God with in our prayer. You know, it's good to ask God for help. But before we do that, if we want to find joy, a better place to start is with gratitude. Thanking God. You know, thanking God not only for the good things that he has done, but following Paul's example, thanking God for the people that he has placed in our life. Tell God how thankful you are for them. And then do like Paul did. Tell them how thankful you are for them. Write them a note. Send them an email. Make a phone call, do a FaceTime call, whatever it takes, let the people know how much you love them and how thankful you are for them. Paul starts out praying with gratitude, and then he continues with confidence. You know, Philippians 1:6, it's been one of those kind of life verses for me. It's a verse that's come up and been really important to me in a variety of seasons and experiences in my life. It says, I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about what that verse says. It says that God began a good work in you. You know, long ago, perhaps possibly before you even knew anything about God, God began a good work in you. Even now, in the situation that we're living in now, we are probably completely unaware of the good work that God is beginning in our lives. God is always beginning a good work. God began a good work in us. And it says that God will bring that work to completion. God's always working on us. Every circumstance we face, every situation we encounter, every experience we undergo is an opportunity for God to grow us, to deepen our character, to develop our courage, to unleash our compassion, and so much more. You know, I both love and hate this truth. You know, I love and hate the fact that I am not yet fully the person that God created me to be. I hate it because I most intimately know what a really deep down selfish sinner I am. And I don't like that. So I don't love that I'm not yet the person God created me to be. But I do also love it because I know that God's at work in me. And I know that God has a plan for me. And I know that God is using the circumstances and the situations of my life to grow me, to shape me, to mold me. God began a good work in me, and God always finishes what he begins. It's true for me, and it's true for you. So we can pray with confidence. God began a good work in us, and God always finishes what he begins. So Paul prays with gratitude, he prays with confidence, and what he prays for? Well, it's pretty interesting. See, Paul doesn't pray for the circumstances to change, for his circumstances to change, or for the circumstances of the people in Philippi. Nor does he pray for life to get easier for them, or for their worries to go away. What Paul does pray for is love. Paul prays for love. He says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more." You know, if you know Paul, if you've read any of his other works, this shouldn't come as any surprise. So this is the same Paul who, when writing a letter to another church, wrote these words. He said, "If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but a creaking of a gate. If I speak words with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, 'Jump,' and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love." Friends, for these next 6 weeks, we are going to be striving after joy, seeking Jesus, serving others, taking care of ourselves. But you know, none of that will work. None of that will make any difference. We will fail at finding joy if we forget about love. So love God. Love one another. Love yourself. And as you seek joy this week, I'd encourage you to follow in Paul's pathway. I'd encourage you to pray. Pray with gratitude. Pray with confidence. And above all, pray for love. Amen.